Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters, where we devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. It is with great sadness that I have to announce that we are rounding out with day 5 of our Anxious for Nothing devotional in the Bible app. There's a link to it in the description if you guys want to follow along. This has been a really fun one. Maybe it's just I needed something to help me do it alone, because obviously being able to like feed off of Tori and her feed off of me, then those things help it out a lot. But this has really been so sweet. And I also just want to point out, not that you guys need to hear this, but each of the 5 days had a scripture that followed each other. So this last one is going to pick up with Philippians 4:8. And the previous one yesterday was Philippians 4:7. And it just shows how much can be pulled from scripture from verse by verse, you know? And it shows that you and I are probably not getting everything out of it that we probably could. And so I'm thankful that we're spending time together doing this, because it really is just like, it's like you go back to it and there's more. And you go back and wait, there's more and there's more and there's more. And that's how God works, is there's always more. He doesn't have an end. So anyways, I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm also going to pick up the Devo. The scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable and what is right, and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." The devotional is titled, "Meditate on These Things." Paul's final instruction in his prescription to anxiety is to meditate on the things of God. In other words, pick what you ponder. Picture your thoughts as airplanes in the sky above a busy airport. You are the air traffic controller of that airport. You get to decide which thought lands and which ones fly away. Want to be happy tomorrow? Let the thoughts of happiness land today. Want to be miserable tomorrow? Let the thoughts of guilt, worry, and fear land today. Healing from anxiety requires healthy thinking. In truth, your challenge is not your challenge. Your challenge is the way you think about your challenge. Likewise, your problem is not your problem. The way you look at the problem is your problem. Satan knows this, which is why he is always seeking to plant lies in your thinking. He wants to influence the way you perceive your struggles or uncertainties. But remember that he is not the master of your mind. Remember that. He's not the master of your mind. Furthermore, you have a power that he can never defeat, for you have God on your side. When anxiety threatens to weigh down your heart, you can simply call on God. This slaps the handcuffs on the culprit and marches it before the one who has all authority. This denies worries and fears to have a platform to influence your mind. This guards your thoughts as you trust in God your Father. Of course, saying this and doing this are two different things. You may want to resolve that today you will think only on things that are true, honorable, and right, even if it kills you. But who can really do this? There is a simpler way. Just make it your aim to cling to Christ. Abide in him. Go to him as your source of strength and the one your thoughts need to obey. Read God's word. Listen to sermons. Worship him. Set aside distractions and claim time for him. Understand that if anything good comes into your life, he will be the conduit. The dominant duty of the disciple is to cling to Jesus. And when you cling to Jesus, you fill your mind with God's truth. You disarm the enemy and keep anxiety at bay. You receive God's truth, and that truth sets you free. Free from fear, free from dread, and yes, free from anxiety. Having anxiety just means you are human. It doesn't mean you are emotionally underdeveloped, stupid, demon-possessed, or a failure. It does not mean your parents failed you, or vice versa. And this is important. It does not mean you are not a Christian. Yes, even Christians battle anxiety. Jesus himself battled anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he didn't stay anxious, and neither should you. A new day awaits you, a new season in which you will worry less and trust more, a season with reduced fear and enhanced faith. Can you imagine a life in which you are anxious for nothing? God can, and with his help, you will experience it. And I just want to quickly call to attention kind of that first paragraph where the author was talking about, like, imagine that you're at an airport and you can see all those airplanes flying overhead, and each one of those airplanes is a different thought. Some of them good, some of them not good. Some of them toxic, some of them helpful. Some of them about God, some of them about something else. And we are the air traffic controller, and we get to determine what lands and what doesn't land. We can delay things. We can send them around the whole loop once again. We have control over that. We need to take our thoughts captive. And it really does help to look at it in terms of like a metaphor where you can almost visualize your thoughts, because you have to understand that's why scripture says, take your thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ. Or when scripture says, like in Philippians 4:8, think about these things, what is good, what is true, what is honorable. It like God is saying, hey, I know you're going to struggle with this. And so here's what you need to do. Here's the prescription. Here's the antidote. Here's the help. Here's me. And we have him. And so because of that, we can wrestle with these thoughts, and not only wrestle, we can defeat these thoughts, but it doesn't happen for free. And that's why I love that the author went on to talk about how, well, if you want to walk free of shame tomorrow, make sure that the plane that is landing today is all about freedom. And it's the same type of thing. Even think about like with your diet. You all know that when you eat something bad, you feel it in your body. You feel sluggish. You just want to take a nap. You maybe feel gross. Maybe you got to sprint to the restroom. Who knows? But you can see the results of what you put in your body and how it weighs you down. But then also on the other side, whenever you give your body things that are healthy, nourishing, and good for your body based on your diet, then you feel like you can move more nimbly, more quickly, with more endurance. And you don't feel weighed down like you need to take a nap all the time. And it's the same with our thoughts. And this is just one of those things that you and I, we both know this. Like we definitely both know this, but how are we going to live it out? That's the goal here. How are we actually going to live it out? And to be in full transparency, I think the cat may be already out of the bag. I kind of alluded to it on the podcast recently, but I was having so much anxiety whenever Tori was in labor with our next baby. I could not stop thinking about the previous birth, in which it was really, really hard on Tori, and thus it being really, really hard on me, because I had to watch the person who I loved the most go through excruciating pain for 36 hours. And I thought I had moved past a lot of those thoughts, but it turns out I didn't. And so I was nearly throwing up in the morning just because how anxious I was as things were about to happen. And I genuinely had to wrestle with my thoughts, and I had to go look at the mirror that Tori had put so many scriptures on the mirror. I had to go like reflect on these things. I had to step away to go pray. I had to text friends for prayer to get prayer over me. And so I had to do what I had to do. And it wasn't just this easy, you know, click your hands and everything's fine. But we got through it. And that's the beautiful thing, is I got to see myself being tempted to fall down this like slip and slide of hopelessness. And instead I fought back with the help of God and community and his word. And you can do that too. And so let this just be some encouragement for you to dig your heels in, to resist the enemy, make him flee, take your thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ. And as you are determining or discerning which thought is good, question it. And like, where are you from? Get in God's word and know his character, so that way you can apply his character to those thoughts that are coming in. Is this God saying something to me, or is this fear saying something to me? Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God does not work in the spirit of fear, but in the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. And so if it is a spirit of fear, it's not from God. I'm going to pray this on out. Lord, you are a good God. Thank you for this devotional. Thank you for equipping us for things that you knew we would struggle with long ago. Thank you for being so readily available to help us in our weakness, God. Thank you for being strong in our weakness. Thank you for being comforting in our weakness. Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being the bedrock of what we need to keep us strong, Lord, to keep us moving forward, to not dwell on the past, to not dwell on negative thinking, but to look to you for where does our help come from, Lord. We love you and we honor you in your son's name. Amen. Well, amen, y'all. Now's that perfect time to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue pressing to the Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece. And don't forget that we love you. We love you, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow. Good night, Mike.